Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, good to be back on the radio, live on the radio. So if you've been listening on the radio last couple days, on Monday it was an old show, just had all kinds of crazy stuff going on. So they had to pull an old show from a couple of years ago, I think. I don't even know which one it was. I'm sure it was decent. I'm better now than I was 2 years ago. And hopefully anyway. So that was Monday. Then Tuesday on the radio, they played for you a great interview I did recently with Joel Rosenberg, best-selling New York Times author, brilliant guy. And that was fascinating. If you haven't heard that interview yet, that was just a couple weeks ago when Joel is back in Israel where they live now. And he was on quarantine, mandatory quarantine, in his own house. Over there, you know, quarantine's a little more serious over there than it is here. So he literally wasn't supposed to leave his bedroom, so he was abiding by that. Spent the whole hour with him. So that was great. That was yesterday on the air, but you can always catch that at the website, thestevenobleshow.com. The podcast is available anywhere where you can get a podcast, pretty much. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all the different podcast platforms. And I would encourage you to do so. You can check out shows from the past. But on the website, you can search by... You can search by topic. So if you want to see any show that we've done with abortion or transgenderism or Donald Trump or whatever, you can do that on the website, thestevenobleshow.com. You can join us on Facebook Live right here in the studio. Just go to my Facebook page, The Steve Noble Show, right there on Facebook. Or my personal page. If you happen to be a personal friend, I'm almost out of room there. So, but a lot of people have been a part of the show, and originally before I even had a radio show page on Facebook, a lot of you are on my personal page, so depending on how you want to do that. So we were going to do Money Monday, Monday being the first Monday in April, but of course with all the goofy technical things going on and the COVID virus thing, we had to push that a couple days. So we're doing a full Money Monday today on Wednesday, April 8th, with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com, as always, is the website, LandmarkGold.com. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. Very healthy. Glad to be on your show today.
Glad to hear that you're healthy. Praise the Lord for that. And most Americans are, relatively speaking, so we're thankful for that. And then crazy days, obviously, so many different things. And this story's unfolding, as you know, David, and financially it's unfolding every day. And the market sometimes it seems to be connected to what's going on, sometimes not. Got very fascinating to see what the market's doing. Today ended up, I mean, it's just been wild, obviously. Ended up 779 points, up almost 3.5%. But if you don't have to go back too far to see the numbers much higher, finished at 23,433. Wasn't that long ago we were playing around with 29,000, but also down to as low as 18,591. So just pretty wild. So kind of give us an update. Let's look at the year-to-date numbers, and then we'll kind of drill into various aspects of the – I called it the virus versus the economy today, David. So where are we at year-to-date?
Well, obviously, the markets are going to be very volatile. Yesterday, right before the close, it was up 900 points and just barely closed up just by a few points. But gold is up 8% year-to-date. The Dow is down 15%, S&P down 14.1%. Oil is the one that really got hit hard. It's almost 62% down, and the dollar is up 3.5%. So in the scheme of things, with the dollar rising, gold should not be up, but it is because of the environment that we're in. People are going to it as a safe haven.
Yeah, and it's just so, I mean, up and down, up and down, up and down. I've said this phrase before, but the Dow Jones Industrial, everything you look at the year, especially since when you get to about February 18th, the top of the roller coaster, and then you're looking down into the abyss and down, down, down you go, and then back up and then down and up and down and up and down. And it's amazing to look at it. So a lot of people were talking about a word that we haven't used in a long time. We're talking about a depression versus a recession. So help us kind of understand these terms, this phraseology. And what are you seeing? Where do you think we're going here? And I know we're postulating a lot because we just don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Well, a recession technically is two quarters with negative GDP, so we haven't had that yet. And a depression is just a full shutdown, and we haven't had that either. But we're somewhere in between that. even though we technically haven't had a recession, Bank of America in March, early March, said that we are in a recession without having the technical side of it being played out. Jamie Dimon, we all know his name. He's came out of the hospital recently, did his annual report, and he says we're in a bad recession and possibly a repeat of 2008 crisis. He said that in the annual letter. Scott Minyard, Guggenheim, I've quoted him before, third largest hedge fund. He says we have a 20% chance of a global depression. Other people like KPMG economist Constant Hunter, KPMG is one of four of the big counting firms. She says we're already in a depression. We just haven't had the technical numbers to support it. So when we look at 1929, Steve, it took us a full 43 months to be in the trough of the depression, and it took quite a few years to get out. 2008, a recession was 18 months in the trough of the recession, and it took about three-plus years to get back, almost 4 years to get back to normality. But when you shut down 311 million people and tell them to stay at home, representing 41 states, it's going to be a big decline, and we haven't seen the worst yet from a standpoint of what the market could go to, because we haven't had first quarter earnings come out. Second quarter earnings are going to be worse than first. Unemployment is skyrocketing. 10 million people unemployed already, and the Fed says it's going to be somewhere as high as 30%, which is 47 million, and that was a lot higher than the depression, which was 24%. So who knows what's going to happen, but we're not out of the woods. We can all confirm that.
Yeah, definitely not out of the woods. I don't even think we know what the woods look like yet. I think we know.
Can't see the forest through the trees.
Yeah, I can't see the forest through the trees. We know because we're going to get more jobless numbers tomorrow, just like we did the last couple of weeks, 3.3 million, 6.6 million. And you know, I think we're going to see a flattening of the curve. We all have a different vocabulary now. But it really is. I mean, is there anybody that's saying, anybody in the financial world, David, right now, that's saying this isn't going to be bad?
That business isn't going to be bad?
Yeah, is anybody saying, hey, everybody's overreacting, it's not going to be a big deal? Is the consensus that we're in for a really, really rough year?
Most people are saying it's a rough year. It's hard to find a person that's saying it's going to do this big bounce.
Yeah, so we're going to keep talking to David Fisher. It is Money Monday. I'm going to put you on hold, David, on a Wednesday, just because we couldn't get there a couple days ago. Got a lot to talk about. What about the government and the Fed? What's this doing to the dollar and our debt? We're going to hit it all. We'll be right back.
What are we waiting for? A message in the sky.
Welcome back to Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Talking to our good friend David Fisher today from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com, as always, is the website, LandmarkGold.com. One other piece of information that you can gather, and they also have a great YouTube channel, a lot of great information there. You can go watch those. Landmark Capital, the YouTube series there. Just go to YouTube and put Landmark Capital in the search box, and you'll find information there. David, and at Landmark Capital, Landmark Gold, precious metals is really kind of the epicenter of what they do, that one part of the investment scheme. And it's great to get information and education. I didn't know anything about it at first. We spent several hours on the phone. This was several years ago. Before that we would ever do radio together. Okay, now I understand it's a part of the portfolio. We're not talking about buying gold and hiding out in Wyoming with your land and being a prepper. We're just talking about having a good balance to your portfolio, and that's where precious metals can really help, especially in trying times like we're in now. But it's not a get-rich-quick thing. It's not like you buy it today, so hold on to it for 6 months, and then sell it. That's like that's a normal kind of investment mentality. And precious metals aren't like that. They're like the keel underneath the sailboat. Okay, so it's a different has a different role. But you got to get educated to understand that. So go to LandmarkGold.com or check it out at YouTube and just type in Landmark Capital in the search box and you'll find that. David, again, it's always great to hear from you. I'm glad you're feeling good. And what are things like in Arizona with respect to the coronavirus? Because every state's kind of different.
Well, we're in a classified under a financial industry, so. We got a green light to still come to the office, but due to the nature of the severity of this, my company is working remotely. I'm at the office today only because we're doing radio, and I had to do some other national radio programs this morning, so it's more convenient at my office. But otherwise, we're shut down the rest of the week. Friday's Good Friday. We're off always that day of the year anyway, celebrating our Lord. But it's a ghost town out there. There's hardly anybody on the roads, and you know, everybody's extra careful, keeping 6 feet apart from each other when you do come in contact with somebody.
Yeah, just such a bizarre environment that we're in. And again, I asked you right before the break, I asked David Fisher with Landmark Capital, my question was, are pretty much all the people in the financial industry, whether they're financial brokers, financial advisors, and the precious metals, hedge fund people, just an analyst, everybody essentially agrees, okay, this is going to get pretty bad. This is going to be serious. The economic impacts are going to be enormous. Unemployment's going to be a huge issue. So everybody's in agreement there. But and everybody, I think, is most people are like, oh, good, the government needs to help. We need to have stimulus. We're pumping money in there. The Fed's pumping money in there. We're talking $6 trillion and climbing right now in stimulus programs. But what are the domino effects of that? Because we need to talk about what's that going to do to the dollar? What's it doing to our national debt? As if anybody cares about our national debt anymore. But kind of take us down kind of this domino, because I think that's what's going to happen. One thing affects another, and on and on and on it goes.
Well, on a side note, Steve, the domino effect that the money's not getting actually to the end user, there was a disaster, fiasco, debacle, you can use those terms. USA Today talked about the Paycheck Protection Plan, the PPP. That's the loans that small businesses are supposed to get, $359 billion, and they're not getting them. I mean, there's been $177 million loans put through, processed, but only 100 people got money. So, I mean, it's Wells Fargo even shut down their website. I think the Fed's trying to reactivate it with them, but they took off the application off their website and said, we're not doing any more SBA loans. So it's, if the money doesn't get there, small businesses are going to have a big problem. And, you know, this is, the money never got to the right people in 2008. We're having a repeat of that. But the money is being, you would think there's a sea of red of money, which there is. The government just passed the CARES Act. That's $2 trillion, which gave the green light for the Fed to create $6 trillion, which is, in essence, doubling their balance sheet. Yeah. They've already issued about $1.5 trillion. Put into perspective what they did in 2008, a year and a half, they did in 2 weeks. So it's just massive amounts of money. This is the fastest mega printer the Fed's ever done. It's not actually printing money, but it's issuing it on credit. So that's going to turn into an inflationary environment. I mean, it's just absolute insane how much money that they're putting in the system, and they're saying it's not enough. I mean, we came so close to a meltdown 2 weeks ago, a Lehman Brothers meltdown. Three major hedge funds were bailed out by the Fed. Capital One got bailed out, and because they had $1 billion number coming due that they had to take care of it, a margin call. They didn't have the money. So there's all this money that's being thrown into the system, and they're still saying it's not enough liquidity in the system. But we have a sea of red of spending as far as the eye can see, and I don't see any end to it, actually. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen happen.
Now, what about eventually the value of the dollar is going to start tanking, if it's not already? You can get us up to date on that, because as they print more money and just come up with more money, you circulate it around, they pump more in, the value of an individual dollar goes down. Don't we have to worry about the value of the dollar, not just here in America, but around the world especially?
Absolutely. That's, you know, even though it has not happened, does not mean that we're immune from it not happening. And, you know, there is this pandemic crisis, COVID-19, but there's an epidemic called debt that is being just obliterated, even worse than the and I don't want to minimize the health virus, the debt virus is just unreal. I mean, I thought we had a financial problem, debt brewing, before all this happened. Now it's just complete insanity. The dollar's actually gone up 3%, 3.5% year to date. That's because there's been a flight to safety. But once all this money gets in the system, you can't defy economics. You can't defy gravity. And when you issue all this money, it has to be managed. It has to be accounted for, and it will be inflationary. That's why a lot of people are hedging themselves in gold, and that's why central banks have been buying gold aggressively, because the dollar has been propagated through our debt instruments called the Treasury, and they saw this all coming. They didn't see the virus coming, but they saw the debt of the United States growing here a few years ago, and that's why you saw a big, big movement by central banks buying gold aggressively, the most last year in 50 years, and the previous year, 2018, was the second most that central banks ever bought. So they're seeing a problem coming forward, and now we just threw nitroglycerin on the fire.
Yeah, and now it's a matter of being defensive, and I think a lot of people are, unfortunately, they just look at the stock market, they say, okay, it was up 779 points, we're back to 23,433, we are at 29,348 on February 19th, we're coming right back, baby. But the thing you got to remember, I talked about this with another friend of mine that's in the financial industry that was on not that long ago, is a stockbroker guy. You're saying, listen, if you lose 50%, so you go, let's just use 100 grand. You lose 50%, you go down to 50,000. To get that back and to get back to $100,000, you need now you need to have 100% return because you're working with a lot less capital. And people, I think, are out there, David, going, oh, well, I lost 45% and we'll make 45% back up. But that's not right because you go down to a much lower amount of capital. Now, in that case, if you go 100 grand to 50 grand, 50% drop. Now you need 100% returns to get back to 100 grand. You need to double your money. I just don't know that people are really thinking clearly about all this.
Well, you know, we haven't had the earnings report come out, and stock buybacks are significantly, I don't want to say they're done, but pretty much close to being done, and that's what propped up the market. And certainly dividends are not there anymore. So we're not going to see this big V comeback all of a sudden. It's going to be an L.
Yeah, that's which is a scary thought. I'm going to put you on hold, David. We're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. What about bailout, which we did in 08? What about a bail-in? We'll talk about that. And how do we protect ourselves in the meantime? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, back live on the radio. We missed you for a couple of days. Some things going on that we couldn't control, but all that's back under control now. Praise the Lord for that. So back on the radio, always live pretty much on Facebook when we do the show. Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern. So when you're listening to the radio show on our mini affiliates, you can join us right here in the studio. We kind of have a sidebar conversation during the commercial breaks and more content, more conversation when you're on Facebook Live versus radio. But whatever works for you, and you can always listen to the podcast whenever you want to. You can watch the Facebook Live of the show whenever you want to. You can do that on Facebook. Just go to my radio page there, the Steve Noble Show radio page on Facebook, or my personal page. You can always grab the podcast wherever podcasts are available. We usually do Monday updates at the beginning of, towards the end of the show, most Mondays of the month. The first Monday of the month, we do a full Money Monday update with our friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. We talk about all these different aspects of the economy and finance and investments. David has been in the precious metals industry for over two decades now, so that's an aspect of the conversation, but it's a much broader conversation than that. And I find people that I know and like and trust, and people that are we're bonded in the spirit through Jesus Christ, and that's who I allow on here. So that's I'm very protective of the air and very protective of what we're trying to do together. And David's been very helpful for helping us understand these things. David, it's good to hear from you again. Thanks for helping us out.
Absolutely. You know, something that's brewing out there that was talked about last year is the local states. 40 states last year in a report that came out from Truth in Accounting. It's a not-for-profit organization. It's been around for over a decade. They monitor the health of each state, their financial health. And last year, before the virus, 40 states could not afford to pay their bills, and 44 states had a D or an F in their scorecard. So we're talking, you know, Colorado's $800 million, had an $800 million in revenue decline. Hawaii, $225 million revenue decline. New York, $15 billion. West Virginia lost $9 million just recently from their casinos going under. So we're going to see, it's not just the federal level, it's now at a state level, and the numbers are even larger now. The report hasn't come out yet since the coronavirus, but it's going to be very challenging, as they say, on a federal and a state level to make the ends meet.
Yeah, and I think what we're going to see here, and they keep talking about the numbers, the coronavirus numbers are lagging a couple weeks from behind. We're going to see the coronavirus numbers trailing off. We're going to see a flattening of the curve. We're going to see the daily death numbers coming down. And all that's going to appear to be doing better. But then I think the financial numbers are going to do the exact opposite. And as we approach the summer and move into the summer, I think that's all going to get worse as the reverberations from this giant boulder that got dropped in the middle of the lake make it to the shoreline. And there's obviously a lot of people, 10 million that we know of already filed for unemployment. And that's just going to ripple and ripple and ripple. And how long is it going to last? Yes, we need to be praying for those in authority over us. But we also need to be praying over this financial situation because it's going to have real physical ramifications and impact as well with anxiety and depression. That all affects suicide rates, heart attack, all that kind of stuff. You may not get the coronavirus, but this economic calamity is going to hurt a lot of people as well physically. So let's make sure we're not forgetting prayer. Prayer isn't the only thing we should do, but we should do nothing without it. We need to be people of prayer throughout all of this because human wisdom is not going to be enough for anybody to get out of this in a decent condition. But that's so important, and that's why we always embed these conversations in this show with a biblical worldview. Let's kind of talk about the bail-in and give a little history of that so people understand it. That isn't just kind of crazy talk. This has actually happened around the world, and then we'll talk about it in the American context.
Well, it's opposite of a bailout. We bailed out Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, AIG, and General Motors, and we came to the rescue. We gave them some money so they wouldn't go under. Otherwise, it would have been much more severe than what we already experienced in 2008 through 12. A bail-in is opposite of that. No entity comes to the rescue, and the country goes internally into their citizens' accounts. It's happened in 9 countries, 8 of them being European and 1 being from South America. In the last 7 years, it's been written up by Fox News, in-depth study on it. Our own government website, you can Google this, the white paper between the FDIC and the Bank of England, and you'll get to probably first or second link from the top, and it'll be called Resolving Globally Actively Systemically Important Financial Institutions, a mouthful of marbles is what it is. Basically, it's an 18-page white paper on our government's website that lists the term bail-in 9 times and explains how the bail-in works on our government level because they passed a law called the Dodd-Frank Act in 2010, and this white paper is a layman's term on how to understand the bail-in from the government's perspective. All you have to do is just read the first executive summary, the third paragraph, and it summarizes in one paragraph the whole summary on how the country, the government, our country, who we live in, can go into your IRA, your 401k, your bank account, anything to do in paper, because the bail-in is done, Steve, electronically, and they can seize a portion of your wealth. And the interpretation by the article done in the Wall Street Journal is, they said 56 to 71%. So imagine a half to possibly up to three quarters of your funds going directly to the government to shore up the financial system. It's a backstop. They have to take care of it somehow. They either got to devalue the currency, which they probably will have to with all the money that's being issued, or default. I don't think they'll do that. Or inflate. Or they got to do a bail-in or a combination of those. So that's what the bail-in is. And that's what we talk about it, because wisdom brings knowledge, and we want people informed on what this is all about.
Yeah, and that's obviously a worst-case scenario, kind of backed into the corner, and that's the only way we're going to survive. But I always encourage people, whether we're talking about something like the bail-in, a financial bail-in, which we've seen in other countries, or we're talking about what's going on with the coronavirus, do not have a pre-9/11 mindset in a post-9/11 world. We need to be far more imaginative. Now, I'm not a catastrophist. That's what Glenn Beck calls himself. He sees he's a conspiracy theorist in many different ways. He's always thinking the worst case. There's always got to be some kind of insidious plan behind everything and a cabal and worldwide domination and all that kind of stuff, which I think, unfortunately, some of that flows because I really don't think he has the solid joy of the Lord. I don't know his heart, but as a Mormon, there's obviously a lot of problems there. But for us, we need to, like, who would have thought 6 months ago that we would shutter our entire economy for a pretty low percentage chance of most of us getting sick to any serious degree? I mean, we have to be willing to concede that just about anything on this messed up fallen world is possible. That's not paranoia, is it, David? Isn't it just sound, rational thinking?
It is a sound rational thing. It's just hard to get our arms around you know, just like it was at one point hard to get arms around that we were going to fly to the moon, but we flew to the moon and back. And, you know, that's just a normal thing. It's hard to get your arms around a bail-in when it's never happened before. But yet it's, we look to other countries, and it's become like the new norm. So it's to say we're immune from it is just not even being a good steward. It is real. It is there. I hope they never do it. But,
sure.
You know, I don't know if you've ever heard this term, war bonds. They're talking about a war bond now. Have you heard anything about that in the news?
Oh, my.
Financial news?
No. What? All right, tell me about that, because
yeah.
We haven't done that since World War II.
Yeah, so think about this. Jim Cramer, one of the major talk shows on CNBC, says, you know what we need to do? We need to have war bonds. And then Larry Kudlow came on his show. Jim Cramer interviewed Larry. And Kudlow thought that was a great idea. He says, I'm going to mention this to the president. So my question is, why are we even talking about a war bond? We're not in war. I mean, the virus is a war, but it's not a we're talking about the levels of debt that we had during World War II.
Yeah.
We're going there. But why would they need another financial instrument to issue debt? To get more people to invest in the country so that the country receives revenue so it can keep spending. Obviously, that tells us there is a big problem issuing enough treasuries that the world doesn't want to buy enough treasuries. And I've been saying for a year and a half now that the world's been backing away from holding our debt called treasuries. They wanting to move outside the dollar, and they've been doing it in oil. And that's why one reason why it's having a problem with us, because oil has collapsed. And the dollar is not being, we're not getting the revenue near as much from oil. So now they're talking about issuing another form of debt called a war bond. That's why, you know, this whole idea of a bail-in is not that far off.
Yeah,
I can say this. I've never been this concerned ever about a bail-in until I heard them talking about a war bond, which says something's up. There is near not enough debt to keep the system afloat.
Yeah, and Kudlow talks to a guy on MSNBC. The next thing you know, he's going to take it to the president. And a war bond, which is just so front-loaded that, hey, if you really care about America, if you care about the survival of the nation, if you care about your neighbor, hey, if you're a Christian and you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself, you should buy war bonds. And the answer to America's problem has never been the government. It's Americans. You know, we don't need war bonds. Let us go back to work and quit operating under fear. It's just amazing. Some people, yes, we need to quarantine. We need to look out for the old people. We need to look out for people that have conditions that can make them particularly susceptible to this. But like I said before, and I said this to you the other day, I fear that we brought an atom bomb to a knife fight. We're talking to David Fisher. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today and talking to our good friend David Fisher. LandmarkGold.com is the website, LandmarkGold.com. They also have a series of YouTube videos that are there. So if you go to YouTube, if you don't know how to go to YouTube, if you've never heard of YouTube, ask your children or your grandchildren, and they'll help you out. It's kind of a challenge for some of us. But if you go to YouTube, just the search box there, just put in Landmark Capital, and you'll find those. Just educate yourself. For a lot of people, the gold thing is like, I don't understand that. And am I supposed to buy gold and dig a bunker somewhere and get some cattle and buy some chickens and be out in the middle of nowhere? And because there's been a lot of wacky gold advertising and stuff going on over the years. And so you need to get educated. It has a role to play. I mean, I know big time, very conservative, very wise, shrewd investment advisors and stuff that like, yeah, definitely has a place. Real estate, cash, gold, investments, having a good diversified portfolio. So just like I said, just like a teeter-totter, you know what happens? If everybody's on one end and you jump off the other end, that's not good. Or a sailboat. Got a big sail on top catching the wind. Call that the prevailing market forces. What do you have underneath? When the wind's blowing like crazy, that's called a keel. And is there anything balancing your portfolio? And that's why you got to get educated and learn about the different tools that are out there. And that's why it's so helpful to have David Fisher here helping us to understand all these different things. And again, David, thanks so much for your time.
You're very welcome. I was chuckling as you're talking there because today I went to the largest radio station here locally, and the number one talk show host, they reached out to me, and now they're endorsing our company here starting
great
up. And so I recorded a commercial with them, and we were just ironically going over how all these other gold companies are, you know, talk about the end of the world and you're going to barter with your gold and silver and, you know, kind of like you were saying, living on the farm. I lived on a farm, but we didn't. I never thought of gold that way, but there's so many people in my industry that think that way and use a lot of pressure. You know, we're all about education strategy. You're not going to use your silver or gold to go to the grocery store. It's just a hedge. It's a diversified tool, a portfolio, in your tool in your portfolio. And, you know, it makes sense to have a portion. Not all. I said on the commercial, I said, you wouldn't put all your money in stocks, neither should put your all your money in gold. That'd be the wrong thing also. So you got to be diversified, a portion to seven, a portion to eight, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you.
Yeah, so diversification's always been the language of smart investing. And would you say that actually buying gold, buying precious metals, taking possession of it, would you say it's not for everybody, or would you say it is for everybody?
No, I've actually told people it's not for them. I can say in 26 years I've told about a dozen people it wouldn't benefit you, and 99% of the time they follow my advice. You know, so I shot myself in the foot to tell them what I thought was the right thing for them to hear for their situation. But I'd say the majority of the public, as a blanket term, it's probably a prudent and wise thing to have a portion of your money into gold, especially during these uncertain times. And if we move forward into more uncertain times, because I think the worst problem is still coming, and that's the corporate bond market. When that unravels, and they already, that's why we had three hedge funds bailed out here by the Fed recently, because we would have started all over, not just the coronavirus and all the unemployment. We would have had actually, on top of that, a significant immediate financial meltdown like 2008, if not greater. Yeah. But the corporate bond market is going to be the problem. It's coming at the end of this year, third quarter, beginning of fourth, and bleeding into the next year. And to put it into perspective, the meltdown in 2008, that was a $4.9 trillion bond market capitalization, worth three times as much, $15.5 trillion. And in the last year, there's been a default rate that has risen 50% of the corporations that are triple B, which is a junk bond status. They're having all kinds of problems, and the Fed bailed some out recently. So that's going to turn into a big mess. They're going to have to throw a lot of money at it, and a lot more than what we're doing right now, which will be inflation, or they let the thing fall apart, which I don't think they'll do that, but if they did that, that would be just horrendous. Either, you know, very seldom can I say this, that a lot of roads lead to gold right now in this environment we're in. So that's why it's just imperative to be, you know, be conservative, but be thoughtful, be, you know, get some education, and see why gold is bought by the biggest money in the world called central banks. They see this problem coming. They saw it coming. And they're still saying we're not out of the woods. In fact, it's going to get worse.
Yeah, and that's the way, you know, like a lot of people, you know, some of the people I deal with swept into cash at the beginning of March. They're like, okay, this looks like this is going to get really bad, and we don't want you to drop 50% because then you're going to have 100% returns to get back to where you were. And so we're going to sweep into cash. For a lot of brokers, that obviously cash, if you're in cash, they're not making money. And so a lot of them don't even think about that. But we need to be defensive, and there's a time to do that, and there's a couple of different vehicles to do that. Anything else kind of on the future? We know bail-ins can happen. They have happened in other parts of the world. The mechanisms are in place that if it were to get bad enough in America, they actually could do that, come in electronically and literally kind of bail themselves out by dipping into the public treasury, the public trough, I mean, meaning ours as individuals. Any other problems in the future that we should be concerned about? We've got the debt load on corporate bonds, all that stuff. Anything else out there that's kind of looming, David, on the horizon?
Well, I was reading the article the other day about five signs of economic challenges, and they use the word collapse. I don't like using that terminology, but as I read, these are from financial planners saying this, with, you know, letters behind their name. And if you heard of the Lombardi letter, that's where this came from. They've been around since 1986, so very well respected letter. And as I look at these five things. Growing government debt, stock market that's trading at all-time highs, unemployment rate rising, unsustainable government debt, and global debt, we have all the makings of some major problems still coming. And, you know, their solution is just create more debt, create more money, create more spending. And that's why it's, you know, we're still not learned to fix the problem from 2008. We're just doing the same thing over, except for on massive steroids. So gold went up 250% in 4 years. Except for this time we have a bail-in. That's why it's really important to get some diversification. You can roll over your IRA, your 401k into gold and take physical possession of your metals without a tax liability. You know, we have a white paper on that. We believe in strategy and education, learning how that can be done legally. So it's imperative now during economic uncertain times to diversify, and I'd rather be 2 years too early than 2 days too late. We've had the first leg down. Who knows if the stock market is going to keep going down or not, but what we do know is the results will be bad coming out for corporate profits, which is not going to cause the market to go up, if anything, go down. And when this corporate bond bubble bursts, that's going to be a detrimental thing. And we have more downside and more liability than the light at the end of the tunnel right now, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So how can people get, like you mentioned the white papers, we talked about the videos, how can people get more information?
Well, they can do it the old-fashioned way, 844-879-8882. I'll say it slower, 844-879-8882, or go to our website, landmarkgold.com.
Okay, one other question, then we'll be done. Given you know, this is your area of expertise, this is your business, and this is your calling, how would you suggest us that we be praying right now? We need to be praying about a lot of things, those in authority over us. We need to pray for all the leaders in the various spheres dealing with this situation. We know we need to be praying first and foremost for the gospel to go forth, but from a financial perspective, how should that affect our prayers? Because we don't want to be, you know, materialistic.
Sure.
I just want to protect what I have. How would you suggest we kind of carry that into our prayers?
Well, the first thing as you're talking, I saw we need to pray for our president because he has a lot on his shoulders. But let's boil this down to each individual. Ask the Lord what is in what you. The Lord's been speaking to your spirit to clarify that. What role you should take? Is that helping your neighbor financially? Is that helping? And you got to be careful with the virus. I get all that.
Sure.
Is this are you being called to do something? Maybe buy some gold. Are you supposed to get some money in cash? Are you supposed to just leave your money where it's at? But I think the prayer is, our prayer should, Lord, give me wisdom in this environment, in this confusing world, and tell me through the Holy Spirit that, you know, connects to our spirit, what I ought to do with my funds right now. And I think God, who's the God of truth, will make that really clear. And I've always said it's the same thing as, you know, going and getting eggs, even though eggs aren't on the grocery list. You follow that innate voice that speaks to you. It's the Holy Spirit. And you come home and you didn't have eggs on the grocery list, but your wife asked you, I should have told you to get eggs, and you got eggs. It's that. So I think this is become your own banker. Become engaged more than any other time in history, because we're in the balance right now, and who knows what might happen.
Yeah, definitely wisdom for those in authority over us. Thanks for reminding us of that. And then wisdom for ourselves, and has to be led by the Holy Spirit. I think in the Western church here in America, oftentimes we kind of say, you know, that sounds a little hokey pokey, a little kind of goofy. But no, the scripture, if you lack wisdom, ask. Pray for it.
Yep.
Ask for it. Asked to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's all there in Scripture, and so we need to take God and His Word. David Fisher, always great to hear from you. Thanks so much. LandmarkGold.com is the website, LandmarkGold.com. Or as David likes to say, the old-fashioned way, 844-879-8882, 844-879-8882, to get educated, get information. Ask and pray for wisdom, and then try to make good decisions and trust the Lord is all in it and on the other side of it, even when we mess up, even in the midst of this kind of darkness. Thanks, David. Appreciate you. Love you, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Happy Easter.
Thanks, pal. You too. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Remember that, because on Friday, on Good Friday, good news only. If you want to talk about good things that God has been doing in your life over these last few weeks, that's awesome. But on Friday, I'm going to ban the words corona, coronavirus, COVID-19. Pandemic. We're going to ban all those words on Friday and just glorify God. What we're going to do tomorrow, I don't know. We'll see what the Holy Spirit does. This is Steve Noble. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.